When was the last time you just stopped and seriously considered how blessed you are to have access to the digital world? I mean, it's all around us, and I decided this morning to just show some of the things that some of the devices we have access to. I wish I had a big flat screen TV that I'd like to start with. But that was too big to carry. But I did bring some things to remind us of this marvelous digital world that we're surrounded with. I'd like this radio to stand for satellite digital radio. It's not one, but I want you to kind of think about that. And then let's see what else we have in here. Oh, for our youngsters, ages 4 through 7, we have the Leapster. Okay? And so we're going to put that up here, the Leapster. That's from my granddaughter. And then let's see. Of course, we have the PC at our homes, right? Ah, then we have the laptop. So we have to consider the laptop as a part of this whole bevy of digital devices. Let's see what else we have in here. What do you think of here? Oh, here's one. What's this? No, it's more than a reader. It's an iPad. Don't you like that color? Okay, that's not my personal one, but that's an iPad. Let's see what else. Thinking about being... Oh, yeah. The cell phone. Okay. Put him right here. What else do we have in here? Oh, here's one of those smartphones. Put him by the cell phone. Now, this is not a total list, you understand. I think this is a DS, isn't it? But did you know they now have a DS3, 3D DS, or whatever you call it? Isn't that something? This is my grandson's. I don't have all this stuff, okay? I do have this. iPod. Okay. So I'm going to put him over here. And let's see if I've missed anything. A smartphone, cell phones, iPod, iPad, laptop, computer, personal computer, DS, or 3DS, Leapster, satellite radio, and television. Quite an array of electronic devices. Now, I kind of wrote out some of the things that we have access to through this marvelous array, and I'll go very quickly. Of course, satellite TV with often over 100 channels. XM satellite radio, again, over 100 channels. And I understand I don't have one, but from my friend, there are many, many Christian channels on that XM radio. Here's one. Using those devices, Nintendo games. Okay. Here's another one. Video games of all kinds. Okay. Then let's see if anyone in the service this morning, what's this? That's Wii. Yeah. Wii. And then some even have a Wii U, the newest version. Okay. DVDs, happens to be the Tale of Two Cities. Put all this up here. But through these devices, think with me, we have access to eBay, iTunes, Skype, blogs, Facebook, text, Twitter. Are any of you on Twitter? Can I see your hand? One, two. Come on, don't be fearful. I'm not preaching against Twitter. Come on now, come on. If you're on Twitter, raise your hand. I want to see. Great. Great, you're on Twitter. Kind of a micro-blogging, texting, receiving, up to 140 characters, I understand. And for those of you who are in this, I want to commend you. You are in the avant-garde. Think of this. 500 million people are on Twitter worldwide. 342 million tweets every 24 hours. That's incredible. Out of the 10 most visited websites, Twitter is among them. Think of what I'm sharing with you this morning. Now, these devices and more have certainly revolutionized our world. In my hand, I hold a book by Michio Kaku, theoretical physicist. Michio visited 150 other scientists, some who were Nobel laureates, to write this book about the future. It was printed in 1997. On page 4, when you open it up, you read these words. It's stunning. And by the way, it's largely due to the digital world. He says, human knowledge is increasing, doubling every 10 years. Just let that sink in. Human knowledge is doubling every 10 years in 1997. What would it be today? And then he makes this profound comment that in the prior decade, remember, he's writing in 1997, there were more scientific discoveries in the world than from the very beginning of the world until then. That's the impact of the digital world. Here's another one. When we were in college, and I proposed to Carolyn, many of these young people, they won't even know this term. She took an airgram. Does anyone remember the airgram you used to send a letter overseas? Can I see your hand? Just a few again, because you're embarrassed with your age. I know we're old dinosaurs, but that's okay.
That's what we didn't remember. That,
Carolyn writes out on an airgram, this knothead boy called Herb Ireland is proposed to me. What do you think? Now, I want to show you what happened. This is when we're in college. From the time she wrote and the time her mother wrote back, immediate. Don't you dare. No. 3 weeks. Last year, Herb and Carolyn were ministering in the Philippines. I get on this Skype talking to people in real time. Within my lifetime, from college to last year. Think of it. Think of what I'm saying. The advances, the blessings of all this. I wrote out some more. One of my best friends that I meet with for accountability every Saturday, Aaron, he was sharing with his smartphone, he no longer has to be just stationed at his office. His office is kind of like his smartphone. So he needed to consult with his boss who lives in Texas. And, you know, they can see each other and everything. His boss is up in the tree with his bow and arrow, and he's hunting for deer with bow and arrow. And they're talking business. Think of the world we're living in. Through Facebook, we can reconnect with people we've lost track of in our high school days. Remember how wonderful? You type in and you get acquainted with them. You're not old enough yet, but you'll know. This is a wonderful tool. You can post messages. Think of the audio and the visual things that we have access to, and all of the songs and the video presentations. I think of YouTube, putting things on there, taking things off, listening to them. How about this one? For the first time in the history of the United States presidency, a president is over on his vacation in Hawaii, and he's using a digital pen to sign his name to the new fiscal cliff bill that was just passed. Every other time, he would have had to flown back to Washington, D.C. to sign. And yet he's signing in Hawaii, and it's acceptable. It's incredible, all this stuff that's happening. And I have one more statement about this digital world. If I'm understanding this professor right, it's just going to grow exponentially, and we're going to have more and more and more. We're going to kind of be breathless trying to keep up with what's happening in the digital world. Now, enough of that introduction. Here's the big question of the morning. When you pick this book up, is there any reference in this book about the healthy, hear the word, the healthy use of the digital world? You know, approximately 40 authors under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit penned this book over a period of 2,000 years. And I ask you, do you think there's anything in this book about the digital world? Well, when I did my study of it, I couldn't find one passage. Does that mean that God does not have a word for people living in 2013 surrounded by the digital world? No. Because God primarily works through spiritual principles. That makes sense? I mean, if God had to address every single thing that was growing and exploding in this world, we'd have a Bible as big as this room. Instead, He addresses our aspirations, our needs, our lifestyles with principles. So I'm going to take you to a principle that spells out how to approach the digital world with a healthy attitude. Did you bring your Bible today? Would you hold it up? I love to see people bringing their Bible. Hold it up. Let Pastor see it. Great, great, great. Would you turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2? Let's look and see what this wonderful passage says. Titus, chapter 2. As you're turning, let me give you context. The Apostle Paul is writing to his friend, fellow minister. Titus has been appointed to encourage and help and strengthen the churches in Crete, the island of Crete, in the Mediterranean Sea. A very rugged place, a very hard place to dig out churches. And Paul is writing to him. And we're going to begin in the second chapter at verse 11 through 14. Chapter 2 of Titus, verse 11 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord to us. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. Focus back on verse 11, and may these four words just pop off the page. The grace of God. The free loving kindness that God lavishes. Hear this word. That God slathers on every human being. And this wonderful grace does two things. Did you notice, first of all, what it says? It says in verse 11, it offers salvation to all people. Now hear me, beloved. That's all people, not to a select group of elected people. Second, this grace of God teaches us some ethical dimensions to form our lives by. Negative, positive. Hear the negative. We are to say no to ungodliness and worldliness. If we're going to be a true disciple of Jesus, then there are some things that we're going to have to be decisive about and stand up against. And that is ungodliness and worldliness that so easily pushes and probes us into its own mold. But there's also the very positive things. Notice he says, this grace of God teaches us that we're to say yes to three things. First of all, we're to say yes, down there in verse 12, to self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. In this present age. You want to talk about the scripture being relevant? The Apostle Paul wrote to Titus in approximately AD 64. Here we are in 2013, and the Holy Spirit is taking this passage and applying it to our hearts in such a relevancy, a crisp, sharp, clean way that we feel like, man, this was written for me in 2013. I'm to be self-controlled. Moffat renders it this way, self-mastery. I'm to be a person who's upright. Moffat says integrity. I'm to be a godly person. Moffat calls it godliness. E.F. Scott is a Bible commentator, and he had a real wonderful insight on this passage. He said, did you notice this passage refers to the three other people that we're going to relate to? First, you're going to relate to yourself. Being self-controlled, Herb. Have some self-mastery here. Second, it's going to relate to other people. You want to live upright with other people. As a man, a woman of integrity with other people. Third, it's to God. You want to live a godly life patterned after God's own Son, Jesus. Wow. That's a relevant passage on how to use the digital world in a healthy way. Now, I want to invite us to take that passage, open the door of our mind, and let that passage walk up and down the corridors of other portions of our mind, our brain. Just let it walk around, because we're now going to go to another important part of the message. And that is the danger of the digital world. So the scripture is going to be walking up and down, still in our minds, but we're going to think about the danger. There's a Harvard professor by the name of Nicholas Carr who has written a book entitled, hear the title, Shallows, the Danger of the Internet World on the Human Brain. And Dr. Carr contends that when we get so enmeshed, hear the word, enmeshed in the digital world, it can impact us in a very negative way. And he points out three specifics. It can make us much more distractible. forgetful, and a lot less creative. Teens, hear me. A lot less creative, because we're depending on you as young people to be the creative innovators in America as you come up and grow up. Distractible, forgetful, just a lot less creative because we're so enmeshed in the digital world. And then I want to quote from his book. Listen to this quote. Calm, focused, undisturbed, the linear mind is being pushed aside by a new kind of mind that wants and needs to take in and dole out information. In short, disjointed, often overlapping burst, the faster the better, end quote. And then Dr. Carr comments on the problem he started noticing in his life, because he was thoroughly into the digital world, that he couldn't focus good on reading long papers or reading books. It was very difficult for him to focus. And I'm going to re-quote him again now. He said, quote, "At first I figured that the problem was just a symptom of middle age mind rot." Can anybody identify with that? Notice I don't have a raise of hands. I'm very sensitive to that, because first I'd have to... He said, "At first, I just figured the problem was a problem of middle-aged mind rot, but my brain, I realized, wasn't just drifting. It was hungry. It was demanding to be fed the way the internet fed it. And the more it was fed, the hungrier it became," end quote. Now, let's say you feel, oh, that's a bunch of hogwash. Being immersed in the digital world, that hasn't done anything to me. That's not really what's going on. Well, let's do a social experiment in our minds. Come with me to the grocery store, to Target, wherever you shop. There's a long line to the checker. And while we're waiting to go to our turn to be checked out, what do you often see people do? Come with me to one of those long stoplights in Naperville or Wheaton. What do you see in the person next to you in the car doing? Here's a better one. Come to me to your doctor's office, and we're all waiting for a half an hour for our appointment. More often than not, what do you see people doing? They got their handheld device, right? Now, track me here. We're talking about the danger. The danger is a lowering of our attention threshold to what's really going on, because we've been so addicted to the digital world and we're not approaching it with a healthy attitude. You say, well, so what? Well, here's a so what from the books and research I've been doing for the message. First of all, there's a thinking component to this. All of this information coming into us, Facebook, texting, people calling, on the computer, just overwhelming us until sometimes we just get exhausted with all this information. And in this exhaustion, guess what happens? We stop thinking reflectively, deeply, profoundly about things. Our life, God, others, our job, whatever. The thinking realm is negatively impacted because we've just been so overloaded. Our neural pathways have just been so overloaded with information. Can't give time to really think like I should. the thinking realm. But it leaks down into the moral realm. Even today, one of you dear people took me aside and shared how, why it's hard to share this, but it happens. One of your relatives locks him, herself, in the room and is on the computer and on the games and all this, and you don't see him. The moral realm. Moving from FaceTime, personal one-on-one interrelationships, to screen time. So here's M. Scott Peck, a very famous psychiatrist. Listen to what he writes. The principal form that the work of love, I love those three words, the principal form that the work of love takes is attention. When we love another, we give him or her our attention. We attend to that person's growth. But instead of giving attention, so often we're so busy with this, we're so busy listening to this, that we're not giving FaceTime, personal attention to those who we love and to those that we associate with at school, high school, college, in our own homes. How many times have I heard people in their own homes, Aaron, in their own homes are texting one another messages so that they don't have to go down and say something to mom or dad? Now, I got a lot of smiles on that. Am I hitting a nerve here? There's a moral dimension. We're not having the proper amount of FaceTime with people, and I'm really concerned about our young people, honestly. Paul, I'm really concerned about our young people growing up in a world just addicted to screen, but not FaceTime. That's what concerns a pastor. Because that bleeds right into the third. Thinking realm, moral realm, spiritual realm. Hear me now. I'm going to assume that you're in worship today because you want to build a growing, dynamic relationship with Jesus. I got one amen. Is there many more in the house? Amen. Of course, I'm going to take that for granted. You really want to build a growing, dynamic relationship with Jesus. How's it done? Spending time, giving attention to Him, obeying what you read and hear as the Spirit deals with you and me. But when we're so caught up in all this stuff, it's so easy to minimize our time with Jesus and wonder, I wonder why I'm not growing. I just don't get it. Why am I not really becoming mature and godly? Huh? And beloved, when we get into this thing of a relationship with Jesus, He begins to teach us this important principle. Remember when He said, Herb, if you love me, then do my commandments. Now think with me, track me here. What is His greatest commandment He enunciated over and over and again? Love one another. Well, how can I love an invisible God? I can't see Him in 2013. I can't touch Him. I can't smell Him, etc., etc. How do you do it? Well, the Bible teaches us. How do we love Jesus in 2013 that we can't see? He's invisible to our eye. I'll tell you, we do it by loving other people made in His image. And when we begin to love like that, we begin to grow. Now, we've kind of opened the door and let the Scripture, remember, we let the Scripture walk the corridors of our mind. Let's call them back in. Hey, spiritual principle, get back in here. Make some application to us living in 2013. For the grace of God has appeared, teaching us, one, that God offers salvation to all people. Second, teaching us the negative dimension of ethics. Say no to ungodliness. Say no to worldliness. Beloved, we need collectively and individually to say no to ungodliness and worldliness. I'm going to spell some of it out. I'm not going to go very deep because it just would go on and on. We need to say a big fat no to pornography. We need to say no to trash songs. A lot of trash. We should never download on that iPod. Never even listen to. Never even order from Yeah, iTunes. Never even order it. Say no to a lot of that rap. Have you ever really heard what those guys are singing about? Maiming, killing, hurting even our police. Have you ever really listened to some of those rap songs, the trash songs about taking advantage of females? We ought to stand up against that. We're not going to stand for that stuff. Say no to the cheap, the violent, the senseless violence that happens in videos and games. No, we say no to that stuff. Say no to sexting. These kids taking pictures of parts of their body and sending it out. Oh, well, we have the new deal, the new app that as soon as 10 seconds or something elapses, it goes away. Phooey, forget it. We don't do that in the first place. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We say no to this kind of stuff. We say yes to what? Think of those three things. Being self-controlled. What does that mean? Self-controlled. Enough self-control to... Enough self-control to... Being upright, having integrity as we relate to people at our job, at school, where they see, there is a true disciple of Jesus. And then being godly. 35 years I've been a Nazarene pastor, and I know when you preach this way, it's not enough to say that. I need to help you and help myself to have handles, positive, constructive handles, how to do those three things. Self-control, upright, third, what was it? And so I'm going to put up on the screen now the classic spiritual disciplines that we can use to do this. All right, the disciplines of abstinence. Down through the centuries, disciples of Jesus have used these disciplines to become what that verse says, those three things. Solitude, silence, fasting. Beloved, we fast so we can feast on Jesus. Frugality, chastity, secrecy, sacrifice. I've preached whole sermon series on each one of these. Disciplines of engagement, please. Study, worship, celebration, service, prayer, fellowship, confession, submission. Submitting to who? To those in authority. What if I don't like what they're saying? Too bad. That's how we learn to be godly. By doing these kind of things, this is what moves us into this pattern that I've been talking about of integrity, self-mastery, and godliness. Handles. Look up here. Celebration of Discipline. Wonderful book. Spells out these wonderful disciplines of engagement, abstinence. Ralph Weaver, our own Ralph Weaver, is teaching this book right now by Richard Foster during an adult Bible fellowship. 9:30 every Sunday morning. You want to go deeper with Jesus and are not presently attending an adult Bible fellowship? Dear one, this man is a master at spelling out how to use these spiritual disciplines. This morning we're going to do communion in a very different way than you're used to. I'm going to call you to come and kneel at the altar, both sides. If you're incapable of kneeling or you'd be more comfortable, sit on the front pews only. And I'm going to serve you in courses where you will come as a disciple of Jesus and take communion. But there's a caveat to it. When you come, I want you to bring whatever digital device you have in your possession. If you have a phone, you have an iPad, you have a reader, whatever you have, I want you to come. If you don't have one with you, and you may have one at home, symbolize it in your hands. And I want you, as you kneel and sit and pray for communion, I want you to begin to ask Jesus, what do you want me to do about developing a healthy approach to the digital world? A healthy approach. Let me prime your intellectual pump for a moment. And I'm not saying this is what Jesus wants you to do. I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to give you some examples. Oh, where he's been dealing with me. Have you ever thought of fasting one day your computer and declaring a Sabbath rest for the machine and for your soul? If you're into texting, have you ever thought of stopping texting for this many days in a row? Because remember, when we fast, we feast. Well, what are we feasting on? We're feasting on arrow prayers instead of No. They may text us, but we don't have to text back. What are we doing? Instead of this, we're shooting an arrow prayer to God and saying, help me to be a deeper, more mature disciple of Jesus. Amen. These are the kind of things I want you to pray about. Lord Jesus, what an opportunity while we're taking communion to do this. Hear the words of the Lord, because really what you'll do is you'll take the bread, you'll take the cup at your own leisure, and then I invite you to go back and be seated, and more people will come and take your place. You may be up here 10 minutes. You may be up here too. It's between you and Jesus. But I'll guarantee you this, if you are open and honest, Jesus will show you how to use the digital world in a healthy way. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread. And as was his custom, I can see him lifting his eyes and he prayed over the loaf. And then he broke the bread and he handed it to his disciples and he said, fellas, I want you to eat this, for this represents my body. And then he took a common chalice. You know, Jesus wasn't working with this. We do it for hygienic reasons. He had a common chalice. And Jesus, again, he lifts his chin and his face to God the Father, and he prays over it. And then he says, fellas, now hear the words in the Greek. I want each of you to drink from this cup, for it represents a new covenant in my blood. Wow. And Peter and these men, they're seated and lying next to Jesus. They're not seated, they're lying next to Jesus. A new covenant. We're used to the old covenant of the Jewish law. A new covenant in his blood. What's he talking about? So when you come, I want you, the lights will come down. I want you to bring that device with you. I'll come right along and serve you the bread and the juice at the same time. You pray over everything. When you're done, go back and be seated, and we'll have kind of a closing prayer. But let's really use this time constructively. I've got 5 minutes to 12. We're going to spill over a little bit because that old preacher preached too long. Not too many amens there. All right. Let's bring the lights down, whoever controls that, and you come as the Lord leads you. Come and kneel. Come if you're unable to kneel. Come and sit on these front pews. Dear Jesus, thank you for these quiet moments when our attention can be riveted on you. And I pray that the vows that we've made at the altar will lead us into the healthiest lifestyle of how to relate to the wonderful digital world. And may you be pleased today at the commitments we've made at this altar, and then embolden us to keep them and to put them into shoe leather. For we pray in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, let's go in the joy of the Lord. Thank you for coming to worship with us today. God bless you.